Welcome to day 223 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries, and I'm glad that you've joined me today. Today we will be reading Jeremiah chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17 from the Amplified Bible. And we will be focusing on Jeremiah 17, some verses from that chapter in our devotional, some of the most profound verses found in the Bible, and I love them so very dearly. So beginning today, Jeremiah chapter 14, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord that came to Jeremiah concerning the drought. Judah mourns and her gates languish. Her people sit in black mourning garb upon the ground, and the cry of Jerusalem goes up. And their nobles send their little ones and their inferiors for water. They come to the cisterns and find no water. They return with empty vessels. They are put to shame and confounded and cover their heads. Because the ground is cracked and the tillers are dismayed, since there has been no rain on the land, the plowmen are put to shame and they cover their heads. Yes, even the hind gives birth to her calf in the field and forsakes it because there's no grass or herbage. And the wild donkeys stand on the bare heights. They pant for air like jackals or crocodiles. Their eyesight fails because there is no grass. O Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, prays Jeremiah, deal and work with us for your own name's sake, that the heathen may witness your might and faithfulness. For our backslidings are many. We have sinned against you. O hope of Israel, her Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a sojourner in the land and like a wayfaring man who turns aside and spreads his tent to tarry only for a night? Why should you be hesitant and inactive, like a man stunned and confused, like a mighty man who cannot save? Yet you, O Lord, are in the midst of us, and we are called by your name. Do not leave us. And the Lord replied to Jeremiah, Thus says the Lord to this people Judah, In the manner and to the degree already pointed out, have they loved to wander. They have not restrained their feet. Therefore the Lord does not accept them. He will now seriously remember their iniquity and punish them for their sins. The Lord said to me, Do not pray for this people for their good. Though they fast, I will not hear their cry. And though they offer burnt offering and cereal offering, without heartfelt surrender to me or by offering it too late, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword, by famine, and by pestilence. Then said I, Alas, O Lord God, behold, the false prophets say to them, You will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I, the Lord, will give you assured peace, peace that lasts, the peace of truth in this place. Then the Lord said to me, The false prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, nor have I spoken to them. They prophesy to you a false or pretended vision, a worthless divination, conjuring or practicing magic, trying to call forth responses supposed to be given by idols, and the deceit of their own minds. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the false prophets who prophesy in my name, although I did not send them, and who say, Sword and famine shall not be in this land. By sword and famine shall those prophets be consumed. And the people to whom they prophesy shall be cast out in the streets of Jerusalem, victims of famine and sword, and they shall have none to bury them, them, their wives, their sons, and their daughters. For I will pour out their wickedness upon them, and not on their false teachers only, for the people could not have been deceived except by their own consent. Therefore, Jeremiah, you shall say to them, Let my eyes run down with tears night and day, and let them not cease, for the virgin daughter of my people has been smitten with a great wound, with a very grievous blow. If I go out into the field, then behold those slain with the sword. And if I enter the city, then behold those tormented with the diseases of famine. For both prophet and priest go about, not knowing what to do, or as beggars exiled in a land they know not, and they have no knowledge. O Lord, have you utterly rejected Judah? Do you loathe Zion? Why have you smitten us so that there's no healing for us? We looked for peace and completeness, but no good came, and for a time of healing, but behold, dismay, disaster, and terror. We know and acknowledge, O Lord, our wickedness and the iniquities of our fathers, for we have sinned against you. Do not abhor, condemn, and spurn us for your name's sake. Do not dishonor, debase, and lightly esteem your glorious throne. Earnestly remember, break not your covenant or solemn pledge with us. Are there any among the false gods of the nations who can cause rain, or can the heavens of their own will give showers? Are you alone not He, O Lord our God? Therefore, we will wait expectantly for you, for you have made all these things, the heavens and the rain. Chapter 15. Then the Lord said to me, though Moses and Samuel stood interceding for them before me, yet my mind could not be turned with favor toward this people, Judah. Send them out of my sight and let them go. And if they say to you, where shall we go? Then tell them, thus says the Lord, such as are destined for death, to death, and such as are destined for the sword, to the sword, and such as are for famine, to famine, and such as are for captivity, to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds of destroyers, says the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear and drag away, and the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth to devour and to destroy. And I will cause them to be tossed to and fro among all the kingdoms of the earth, and to be made a horror to all nations because of Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for the horrible wickedness which he did in Jerusalem. For who will have pity on you, O Jerusalem? Or who will bemoan you? Or who will turn aside to ask about your welfare? You have rejected and forsaken me, says the Lord. You keep going in reverse. Therefore, I will stretch out my hand against you and destroy you. I am weary of relenting concerning your punishment. I will winnow them with a fan and a winnowing fork in the gates of the land. I will bereave them of children. I will destroy my people from their evil ways. They did not return. I will increase the number of their widows more than the sands of the sea. I will bring upon them both against the mother of young men and the young men themselves a destroyer at noonday. I will cause anguish and terrors to fall upon her, Jerusalem, suddenly. She who has borne seven languishes. She has expired. Her sun has gone down while it was yet day. She has been put to shame, confounded, and disgraced. And the rest of them I will deliver to the sword before their enemies, says the Lord. Woe is me, my mother, that you bore me to be a man of strife and a man of contention in the whole earth. I have neither loaned nor have men loaned to me, yet everyone curses me. The Lord said, truly your release, affliction, and strengthening will be for good purposes. Surely, Jeremiah, I will intercede for you with the enemy, and I will cause the enemy to ask for your aid in the time of evil and in the time of affliction. Can iron break the iron from the north and the bronze? Your nation's substance and your treasures will I give as spoil without price, and that for all your sins, even in all your territory. And I will make your possessions to pass with your enemies into a land which you do not know, and I will make you to serve your conquerors there. For a fire is kindled in my anger, which will burn upon you, Israel. Jeremiah said, O Lord, you know and understand, earnestly remember me and visit me and avenge me on my persecutors. Take me not away from joy or from life itself in your long suffering to my enemies. Know that for your sake I suffer and bear reproach. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words were to me a joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of those who make merry, nor did I rejoice. I sat alone because your powerful hand was upon me, for you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Will you indeed be to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail and are uncertain? Therefore, thus says the Lord to Jeremiah, if you return and give up this mistaken tone of distrust and despair, then I will give you again a settled place of quiet and safety, and you will be my minister. And if you separate the precious from the vile, cleansing your own heart from unworthy and unwarranted suspicions concerning God's faithfulness, you shall be my mouthpiece. But do not yield to them. Let them return to you, not you to the people. And I will make you to this people a fortified bronze wall. They will fight against you, but they will not prevail over you, for I am with you to save and deliver you, says the Lord. And I will deliver you out of the hands of the wicked, and I will redeem you out of the palms of the terrible and ruthless tyrants. Chapter 16. The word of the Lord came also to me, saying, you shall not take a wife or have sons and daughters in this place, Jerusalem. For thus says the Lord concerning the sons and daughters who are born in this place, and concerning the mothers who bore them and the fathers who begot them in this land. They shall die of deadly diseases. They shall not be lamented, nor they shall be buried, but they shall be like dung upon the face of the ground. They shall perish and be consumed by the sword and by famine, and their dead bodies shall be food for the fowls of the air and for the beasts of the earth. For thus says the Lord, enter not into the house of mourning, nor go to lament or bemoan the dead, for I have taken away my peace from this people, says the Lord, even my steadfast love and loving kindness and tender mercy. Both the great and the small shall die in this land. They shall not be buried, neither shall men lament for them, or cut themselves, or make themselves bald for them. Neither shall men prepare food for the mourners to comfort them for the dead, nor shall men give them the cup of consolation to drink for their father or their mother. And you, Jeremiah, shall not go into the house of feasting to sit with them to eat and drink. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease from this place before your very eyes and in your days the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. When you tell these people all these words and they inquire of you, why has the Lord decreed all this enormous evil against us? Or what is our iniquity? Or what is the sin that we've committed against the Lord our God? Then you shall say to them, it is because your fathers have forsaken me, says the Lord, and have walked after other gods, and have served and worshiped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law, and because you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, every one of you walks after the stubbornness of his own evil heart, so that you do not listen to and obey me. Therefore, I will cast you out of this land of Judah into the land of the Babylonians. Neither you nor your fathers have known, and there you will serve other gods day and night, for I will show you no favor there. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when it shall no more be said, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the countries to which he had driven them. and I will bring them again to their land, which I gave to their fathers. Behold, I will send for many fishers, says the Lord, and they will fish them out. And afterward, I will send for many hunters, and they will hunt them from every mountain, from every hill, and out of the clefts of the rocks. For my eyes are on all their ways, and they are not hidden from my face, neither is their iniquity concealed from my eyes. First, before I bring them back to their land, I will doubly recompense and punish them for their iniquity and their sin, because they have polluted my land with the carcasses of their detestable idols and with the abominable things offered to false gods, with which they have filled my inheritance. Then said Jeremiah, O Lord, my strength and my stronghold and my refuge in the day of affliction, to you shall the nations come from the ends of the earth and shall say, surely our fathers have inherited nothing but lies, emptiness and futility, worthless things in which there is no profit. Can a man make gods for himself? Such are not gods. Therefore, says the Lord, behold, I will make them know, yes, this once I will make them know my power and my might, and they will know and recognize that my name is the Lord. Chapter 17. The sin of Judah is written with a pen or stylus of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is engraved on the tablets of their hearts and on the horns of their altars. While their children earnestly remember their heathen altars and their asherim, wooden symbols of the goddess Asherah, beside the green trees upon the high hills. O Jerusalem, my mountain in the field, I will give your wealth and all your treasures to the spoil and your high places for sin as the price for your sin throughout all your territory. And you, through your own fault, will loosen your hand and discontinue from your heritage which I gave you. And I will cause you to serve your enemies in a land which you do not know. For you have kindled a fire in my anger, which will burn throughout the ages. Thus says the Lord, cursed with great evil is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man, making weak human flesh his arm, and whose mind and heart turn aside from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub, or a person naked and destitute in the desert, and he shall not see any good come, but shall dwell in parched places in the wilderness, in an uninhabited salt land. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, that spreads out its roots by the river, and it shall not see and fear when heat comes, but its leaf shall be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and it is exceedingly perverse and corrupt and severely mortally sick. Who can know it, perceive, understand, be acquainted with his own heart and mind? I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Like the partridge that gathers a brood which she did not hatch, and sits on eggs which she has not laid, so is he who gets riches by unjust means and not by right. He will leave them, or they will leave him, in the midst of his days, and at his end he will be a fool. A glorious throne, set on high from the beginning, is the place of our sanctuary, the temple. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all who forsake you shall be put to shame. They who depart from you, and me your prophet, shall disappear like writing upon the ground, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. Behold, they say to me, where is the word of the Lord, predicting the disaster that you said would befall us? Let it come now. But as for me, I have not sought to escape from being a shepherd after you, nor have I desired the woeful day of judgment. You know that. Whatever I said was spoken in your presence and was from you. Be not a terror to me. You are my refuge and my hope in the day of evil. Let those be put to shame who persecute me, but let not me be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let me not be dismayed. Bring on them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Thus said the Lord to me, go and stand in the gate of the sons of the people through which the kings of Judah enter and through which they go out, and also stand in all the gates of Jerusalem. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord, you kings of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem who enter through these gates. Thus says the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and for the sake of your lives, bear no burden on the Sabbath day, or bring it in through the gates of Jerusalem. And do not carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, or do any work. But keep the Sabbath day holy, set apart to the worship of God, as I commanded your fathers. Yet they would not listen and obey or incline their ears, but they stiffened their necks, that they might not hear and might not receive instruction. But if you diligently listen to and obey me, says the Lord, and bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but keep the Sabbath day holy, set apart to the worship of God, to do no work on it, then there will enter through the gates of this city kings and princes who will sit upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, the kings and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And this city will be inhabited and last throughout the ages. And the people shall come from the cities of Judah and the places round about Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin, from the lowland, from the hill country, and from the south, the Negev, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices, cereal offerings and frankincense, and bringing sacrifices of thanksgiving to the house of the Lord. But if you will not listen to me to keep the Sabbath day holy, set apart to the worship of God, and not to bear a burden, and enter in at the gates of Jerusalem with one on the Sabbath day, then I will kindle a fire in her gates, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. This is the end of today's scripture reading. So we've been listening to these many chapters from the book of Jeremiah. We need to keep in mind the background and the setting in which the prophet Jeremiah was doing his prophesying. Basically, it was that the children of Israel, or the Israelites, God's chosen people, had become so apostate, meaning that they have completely abandoned God, were living in total sin, worshiping false gods, and had been away from relationship with God for a very long season. Literally hundreds of years had passed when they had fallen into this habit, pattern of worshiping false gods, and had had very few good leaders trying to turn them back to the Lord, as we've heard over these months of Bible reading throughout the Old Testament. So that's the setting in which Jeremiah is speaking the words that he is speaking to them, basically saying that they are about to come into a season where they're going to be taken into captivity to the Babylonians because of their sin and the sin of their forefathers. And specifically here in Jeremiah, where we read today, it specifically says that God was doing this because of the incredible evil that King Manasseh, who was Hezekiah's son, brought upon Jerusalem and the southern kingdom of Judah, and because of his sin of being so wicked and turning the whole country away from God and into deeper and deeper idol worship, that because of that, God was not going to relent on punishing the nation and was going to allow them to come into captivity to the Babylonians. So Jeremiah is telling them, this is what's about to come on the whole country. And so we know now, as New Testament believers, we can look back at the history of Israel and see that Jeremiah's prophecies came to pass exactly. They were taken into captivity during his lifetime, and many things that were spoken by the prophet came to pass. And also, in the reading we heard today, it says, the Lord said to them, I'm not going to hear their prayers when they pray for me to deliver them because of the amount of sin that they've committed. And he also instructed the prophet Jeremiah not to pray for them. Don't pray for me, to me, for them. Don't do it. And then we heard an amazing statement in the first verse of the 15th chapter that said, even if Moses and Samuel stood before God interceding for the people of Israel, that God would not change his mind about what he was about to do. So it shows us two things. One, that the intercession of God's people, in the case here, Moses and Samuel, and also Jeremiah, could turn God's mind, so to speak, toward doing something different. But here we see God saying, but even if they interceded this time, I wasn't going to change my mind about what I'm about to do. So then he goes on to tell all the things the Lord said were going to happen to the Israelites in this particular point in time. But one fascinating portion of scripture that we're going to focus on today is so very powerful, and it's Jeremiah 17 verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And these verses give us some profound insight into the way that God operates, or you could say the way that God has set up the spiritual world to operate. And the truth of these words, which we are going to read in a moment, explain why the children of Israel ended up in captivity in Babylon, but they also explain how we today can walk in God's blessing and have God's protection every single day of our lives, regardless of what's going on in the world. Here are these profound verses. I'm going to read them to you. I will read to you from the NASB, or New American Standard Bible, though today we read from the Amplified. Listen to these verses. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. For he will be like a bush in the desert, and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitants. So the first two verses, 5 and 6, tell us what becomes of the person who trusts in human flesh, in things that man can do, instead of trusting God. He says that person becomes cursed. He'll be like a bush in the desert, meaning he'll be in a dry place with nothing good around him. He will not see when prosperity comes. He'll live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. So the idea is that person will end up in a barren wilderness of a life with nothing good going on. That's what happens to the person who trusts in mankind and anything that man can produce, makes flesh his strength. In other words, he just trusts in what man can produce, but he doesn't trust in the Lord. So God says that person ends up in a barren, dry wasteland of a life. But then it goes on to give us a profound insight about the person who trusts in the Lord only. Verse 7 and 8 tells us, Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. So here we see total contrast. The person who trusts in himself, in human beings, in things that human beings can produce, that person will be like a bush in the desert. Nothing good, stony wasteland, land of salt, doesn't have any fruitfulness, has no water, dry, barren wasteland of a life. But the person who's trust God is the total opposite. That person's like a tree planted by water. Its roots are by a stream, so it always has access to water. And even when the heat comes, and even when the drought comes, it still has green leaves. It still produces fruit and is never anxious, even when the circumstances of drought are upon the whole earth. What a total difference. Green, fruit-bearing person versus a person like a bush in the desert without any water, without inhabitant, in a land of salt producing nothing good. What a complete stark difference between these two lives. This vital piece of God truth here in the book of Jeremiah was what explained what happened to the children of Israel. They turned away from the Lord. They turned their hearts away, as it says here in Jeremiah 17:5, and they became cursed. They made flesh their arm, meaning that they started trusting in what God, man could produce rather than what God could produce. They started trusting in false idols, things that their hands made. They carved out a wooden statue, bowed down to it. To us in modern society, that sounds ridiculous, and yet it's exactly what people do today. They carve out their own life. They make a career for themselves. They make their bank account grow by their own efforts, and they trust in that bank account. It's what they carved out for themselves. It's what they created with their own strength, with their own arm, with their own ideas, with their own motivation. Everything was man-based, flesh-based, and they trusted in that and turned their heart away from the Lord. Well, they may look good for a season. They may look prosperous for a season. They may be experiencing the good life for a season, but the end, they will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. They'll be like a bush in the desert, and they won't even see when good things come because they'll have none of it. You may say, no, I see people who are rich. They made their living by their own efforts. They made their wealth by their own motivation and their own hard work, and they don't look like they're hurting for anything. But the reality is, when everything is said and done, they are going to end up absolutely in a terrible situation, physically and spiritually. But the person who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, will be like a tree planted by water, extending its roots by the stream bed, and won't fear when heat comes, but its leaves will be green. That person won't be anxious, fearful, freaked out, worried in a year of drought. And that word drought obviously means when there's no rain, so that the land is affected. But it also is symbolic or representative of all types of calamity or disaster that might come on the earth. That a person who trusts in God, that even in a year of drought, difficulty, calamity, natural disaster, financial devastation to the earth, economic downturn, you name it, that person won't be anxious in those years, nor will that person cease to yield fruit in their lives. Their leaves will be green. It speaks of life. That speaks of fullness. That speaks of a person being able to be peaceful and joyful, and their peace isn't stolen by the circumstance. Their joy isn't stolen because around them things are happening that aren't pleasant or they are bad. They're able to be peaceful. They're able to still yield fruit in their lives because their trust is in the Lord. Their trust wasn't in their bank account, wasn't in their job, wasn't in their retirement savings. It wasn't in any natural thing produced by mankind, because their trust was anchored in God. So that the year of drought, I'm not anxious. My trust wasn't in the bank account anyway. My trust wasn't in the stock market anyway. My trust wasn't in how my IRA is doing anyway. My trust was in the Lord. So, year of drought, I still will be yielding fruit in my life. My peace will still be with me. My joy will still be with me because my trust is in God. This is a secret of walking with God. This is the secret of the truly successful life. The difference between people on this earth is nestled right here, hidden right here in the book of Jeremiah. People on this earth, the difference between them is here. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, things of the flesh, whatever the flesh can produce, or blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. What does your life reflect? Does it reflect a trust in God completely? Or is there a little mixture there with a little bit of trust in how my bank account's doing, how my stocks are doing, how my career's going? Do you get nervous when it looks like they're going to downsize your company and you might be out of a job? Or are you at perfect peace regardless of whether it's a year of drought financially, economically, or any other thing? You just trust in God, so you have the same peace level, the same joy level, the same love level. Everything in your life is producing fruit, and it is not dependent upon natural circumstances in any possible way. If you can take hold of the truth of this word in Jeremiah 17, you will be able to have a life that produces fruit all the time. You're never anxious regardless of natural circumstances, and you can be a blessing to many people. This is the choice of every single person on the earth, that we decide we're going to trust fully in God. We're going to put aside trusting in people, trusting in what people can produce, trusting in any company, any person who gives you a job, your employer, the corporation that employs you, or any other thing that's produced by man, because that will have an expiration date. Everything in this world that's made by human beings has an expiration date on it. There's seasons in the economy. As we know, as we have seen over the last few years, economy can go up and the economy can go down. The world markets have their upswings and their downswings. You don't want to be a person whose life is pinned to the economic upturn or downturn, and how you feel and what your life is experiencing is totally tied to those things. Then you're going to be like the children of Israel. You know, they put their trust in what they could see with their eyes. There was a king of Judah that we heard about just a few weeks ago who went to Syria and saw an altar that was raised in that nation to a false god. And the Syrians had actually become the winners, so to speak, of a battle that they had been involved in. This king thought, wow, that god, whatever it is that the Syrians are worshiping, helped them be successful, so I'm going to take that altar back. And he had one built just like it and put in the temple of the Lord in Jerusalem, because he decided to trust in that instead of God, because he thought, well, that god made that guy successful, king of Syria successful, therefore I'll do the same, I'll trust in him, or it was really false, so it was just it. And what he did was He became cursed. Like it says here in Jeremiah 17:5, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He'll be like a bush in the desert. He'll live in stony wastes in the wilderness. He ended up cursed. That king ended up cursed, and he brought a curse on the whole nation. But God wants you to be blessed, but you only will be blessed as you trust in the Lord. That's it. That's where our blessing comes from. And I've seen a lot of people chase blessings by trusting in natural things, putting their hope in naturally produced or things that man have produced, whether it was financial services of different kinds, retirement plans of different kinds, ideas that somebody came up with, that they put their hopes in that for financial blessing. There's no blessing outside of God. There is no true blessing. Other things that look like blessings ends up becoming curses. We have to take the absolute wisdom of God's word, which has been given to us so that we may live and not die, that we might know the blessing of the Lord on our life and take hold of it for ourselves. This word in Jeremiah is profound. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind, makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. That's one option for you. Or blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by water with its roots going out by the stream, won't fear when the heat comes. That scripture tells us the heat always comes. You know, it doesn't mean that no trouble comes on the earth or no trouble will come on your life. But wouldn't you like to be the person who doesn't fear when the heat comes? Whose leaves are green even when there's drought? Wouldn't you like to be the person who's not anxious in the year of economic downturn and difficulty coming on the earth? Wouldn't you like to be the person whose life never ceases to yield fruitfulness? That's the life I want. That's the life I desire. And I believe you do too. But God wants you to be a person whose trust is 100% in God and 0% in mankind, or the things that man can produce. Are those things good? Sometimes they're not, but God never wants us to trust in them. It's good to have a good job. It's a blessing to be employed by a good company. Those things are fine, but don't ever put your trust there. Appreciate what you have. Appreciate what God's led you into, but don't let that become your idol. And that's what's happened in our society, as people have idolized what they consider financial security, including working for a good company or whatever. Those things are fine as long as they don't become your idol, as long as they don't become your God, as long as they don't become the place where your trust is. I believe God does lead people into different careers, puts them to work in different companies, in governments, whatever. He does that, but not so that that thing will become your idol, your God, or the place of your trust. God wants you to always have Him as the center of your life and your trust and the place you put your trust. Consider that this week as you go through your day, and may God continuously be the place where your trust is based. God bless you and give you a victorious week.